Blog Talk Radio.
Think of me, think about us since the intimacy. I'm trying to strum you like guitars in this beat. And consider ride and chuck it the blase flame. Plus, you got a man, but he ain't quite me. This type of man is trying to get you what you need. And he want to know where you are, where you be, where you going, where you stay, where you subject to be. Damn. If I was him, I wouldn't even need. I would trust you when you say that you are what you be. Say, he the type of nigga that tell his chick, take his girl on a date and they go to Mickey D's. Say, I'm the type to try to stab in the Jeep, try to take you out to see things and occasionally creep. Yeah, your man is doing things I can't really see. Don't sound too good, it sounds tainted to me.
Limousine, this is the way I see you. Yeah, you're now tuned in to GEI Radio, Freaky Friday. I am your host, Tone. I got my co-host with me. What's up, GG?
Tone, what's going on, bro? How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good, man. What's going on in the city right now, man?
Listen, you know, it is literally Hotlanta right now. I want to welcome everybody to tonight's show. Listen, man, I was literally looking at the news before I jumped on the blog talk, man. You know, they protested in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, Centennial Park area. You know, folks just had to make sure that they burned something. They wasn't going to let Minnesota be completely outdone. But so they wind up, the worst case scenario is they burned a cop car, you know, to send a message that, hey, you know what? It can and will go down, and that's what's happening, man. You know, it's a lot of craziness all over the world, man. But Atlanta is definitely about that life today.
I'm watching it live right now. They bust the windows, going in other businesses. It's just a crazy time right now for all of us. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a lot of stuff that's going on.
Yeah. It's a lot of pent up rage, frustration, it's like a pot boiling over, man. It's finally spilled over. So I just pray for everybody's safety. You know, protecting their families, as we always say, week in, week out. And just being safe and being careful, man. There's so much going on. You can almost pick what subject you want to talk about in current events, man. But the bottom line overall is it's for everybody to be safe, protect yourself, protect your families, man. All of this stuff starts at home, first and foremost, man, and then spreads throughout the community and extended community. But, man, it's tough out there right now. It's tough.
Yeah, man. And I see that, you know, one of the things that I'm looking at is all racist. It's like everybody fed up. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody, you know, for a long time, man, people couldn't see our pain. It was just, you know, whatever the news said. But now with the camera phones and how fast news travel with social media, it's like people really getting a look into what's been going on in our lives forever. You know what I'm saying? This is nothing new to us. It's just being, you know, it's being recorded. So it's, man, it's just a...
It's a trying time.
It's almost like, I don't know if this might sound weird, but it's like, it's almost like awesome to see, like, finally, you know, it's we didn't try everything we could do. We didn't try the, I seen the post from a young lady. She had it said, okay, you wanted us to put our hands up. You wanted us to be quiet. You wanted us to kneel. You wanted us to do this, and this. And all those things still got us killed. You know what I'm saying? If people still died doing all those things, comply. And now it's just like you said, it's just one of those things where people just like, I'm over it. I'm just over it, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And what you mentioned was really, really important. And it's all races, all ethnicities joining as one to let the government know, to let law enforcement know, just to let other people, other communities know that, you know, we are standing for justice. You know, there's too many examples to give on, you know, where injustice was done. There's too many examples to give. So it's just at a point to where it's obvious, you know, it's blatant, you know, disrespect of races, of community members, a lot of propaganda involved. And, you know, the people are realizing that, you know, the people are realizing that, look, it's our problem. It's our problem to solve. And, you know, to be one voice is, it's an amazing time, man. I mean, I know a lot of people are upset about the looting and fires and things like that, you know, but at the same time, man, it's not one person. It's not one race. It's not one ethnicity. It's not one social group. It's not one social organization. It's everybody, man, collectively making their voices heard through activity, man, demonstration and activity. So you have to deal with it. You have to deal with it at this point, man. You can't sweep it under the rug. You can't just show a little bit on certain channels and media outlets. It's all over. And I think that's the point. That's the point that everyone wants to make.
Yeah, it's just, I see they got you know, it's even like, just to be honest, man, you know, our topic that we had today, it's just so much going on right now. Personally, I'd rather sacrifice this week and really speak on like what's going on, because it's bigger than you know, the other stuff. We can get back to that. So, you know, to all the listeners and stuff like that, I'm pretty sure a lot of listeners coming from Atlanta, a lot of listeners from Maryland, like, because they protesting up here too, in D.C.,
okay.
is one in New York, is one in Los Angeles, of course, Minneapolis. But I think the one in Atlanta is one of the ones that kind of got, you know, got live.
A lot of traction.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Get a lot of traction. Cause, I mean, again, man, it's just one of those things. It's like, here's the thing, you know, I hear people saying, you know, all police is not bad. You can't blame all police. But we can, because if you see something like that and you don't speak up against it, you know what I mean? It's bad. You know, it's bad. Like,
yeah.
It's just like when they come to the hood and they tell us, you associate with the gang members, or you associate with the drug dealers, so you just like them. So if that goes both ways, if one of your partners is, you know, is killing, and you standing beside them, then you know better than him.
Correct.
So, man, it's like, come on, man, they got to look in the mirror. Like, the new chief, like I said, I haven't been home in a minute, but the lady Erica Schill, the new chief of police in Atlanta, I think she is a white lady, and she even was going off, you know, because that's all I've been watching for like the last 3 hours is this live feed from Atlanta,
right.
And she was saying the same thing, like, you know, the police department got to take a hard look at themselves in the mirror, like, and stop protecting bad cops. It's not right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not right. You got these kids, this is not the night. This is not the 60s. It's not the 50s or the 60s.
Right.
These kids is different. You know, this generation is
absolutely
different, man. This generation, they're not going to sit back and just, you know, they ain't like us. They ain't like our parents. They ain't like our grandparents. These kids are violent. And they willing to take it to the extreme, as we are witnessing on TV with Minnesota and Atlanta right now. So, man, like I said, it's just...
Yeah. Yeah, it is definitely a lot going on. I'm actually, you know, proud to see the unison, the unity and unification of just different people from different walks of life, different cultures, you know, really standing by principles that, you know, should, that we would think would be standard. But apparently, you know, there's been a lot of equality, inequality, it's, you know, it's definitely a trying time when you can see it from so many platforms, so many outlets, and have different examples. You have to think about, you know, in the 80s, you know, when we heard about Rodney King incident and stuff like that, it was like, okay, that one guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, that one guy got beat, and it was on videotape and things like that. Rodney King was not the first individual to get beat by cops to a pulp
exactly.
by cops. Now, maybe one of the most significant beatings, law enforcement beatings that was, you know, videoed on cameras and camera phones and things like that, probably. But, you know, those things have been happening all throughout the world way before that. I mean, you know, you can Emmett Till, you can go back as far as you want for different examples. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, these people didn't deserve what they got. Now, did they do something wrong? Some of them, yes. Some of them, no. But the point is, did they deserve what happened to them? And the answer would be no. You know, so, I mean, it's just taking a toll, you know, from folks. Some can relate directly, some can relate indirectly.
I think it's more so of when you watch white kids shoot up a church in South Carolina and kill 13, 14 people and leave in handcuffs and get taken to Burger King to eat. Or when you see another white guy mass shooting and he's handcuffed and set down gently and given water. Like, these people just kill people. Then when you see a guy pulled over or sitting in a car with his daughter and his girlfriend in the car and get shot for no reason, I think that's the difference in what people are seeing today. Is like, yo, why are you being so aggressive with unarmed black men?
People of color.
But, yeah, people of color.
Yep.
But you're taking a different approach for murderers. Forget what color they are, like, murderers. Like, these people, this kid shot up a whole church. And you literally took him to Burger King. You get what I'm saying? So it's like,
yep.
dog, like, these people,
yep.
not, man, we're not taking that no more, man. And it's, I seen, you know, it's sad, man. Sad thing. I seen today a guy sharing his, somebody shared it, but a guy made this thing on how to breathe if the police put their knee on your neck.
Right? Yeah.
And just to think about that, you have to teach your son how to breathe if an officer puts his knee on your neck. Like, that's crazy.
Sad.
It's we had it in a sad time. And like I told my partner that shared it, I'm like, bro, I mean, I don't have kids, but I got nieces and nephews. I'm not teaching my kids that. I teach my kids to kill first before I teach them how to breathe if an officer put his knee on your neck.
Right.
It's a sad time. It's a frustrating time. It's an angry time. It's like, man, it's, what do we do?
Yeah. So how do you feel about the we can kind of reverse. We can kind of go in reverse, but let's address the outcome as far as let's address the reaction before we address the actual situation. So we have individuals in the city of Minneapolis, Minnesota. We have blacks, whites, you know, all different races, all different cultures and backgrounds that decided to protest. right? They decided to protest. They decided to literally confront the police department. You know, and of course, it's a constitutional right to protest. You know, so that is not against the law. And obviously, it got to the point to where, you know, they didn't feel like they was getting the results that they should. And when you think about it, there was a murder. Let's just be straight up. Take your badges away. Everybody's a civilian at this point. Everybody's a person. There was a murder, you know, just flat out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that law enforcement officer gets fired. He becomes a civilian at that point. So now that he's a civilian, mm-hmm. he still has to answer to what happened. Now, obviously, if they felt like nothing was wrong, if there was policy and procedure and protocol, then I don't believe those officers would have been fired. Is that fair to say? If they can justify what they did was protocol, then there's no reason to fire them. You just back them up.
Oh,
you
haven't seen the latest news.
No, I know the latest news, but I'm walking backwards though. So I'm walking backwards. So what I'm saying is,
okay,
because you have to think about it. Yeah, there was a verdict now, but this is after looting. This is after fire. This is after an uproar of the city. So it's a cause and effect. But my point is, there's a lot of people that feel some type of way about the protesting that eventually turned to rioting and looting in some areas. And of course, come to find out, there was also, I don't know if there was more than one, but there was a police officer identified as one of the people
yep.
that decided to, you know, set fire in the AutoZone out there. It's not just going to be one. There's not one guy that's going to do that. And there's always a team, or there's always individuals. There's things that are done strategically. And so, you know, people are jumping into conclusions of how people are responding with anger and how they're responding with frustration. That alone is, I think, is a big deal that we need to look at. You know, before we talk about, okay, the blacks are looting, or the black did this, these are doing that, let's talk about the injustice. The injustice is the most significant thing, because anything after that is a reaction to that action. And I find it amazing. Go ahead.
And it's over and over and over and over again. You get what I'm saying? It's like, you know, mm-hmm. it's like going to school, like being bullied. At some point, you're going to react. You know, it's like going to school
yeah.
and getting slapped by somebody every day, you know, and then that mm-hmm. 300 times you just be like, you know what, stab or whatever. You can't say, oh, that was too much. You get what I'm saying? Like, I took this
right.
for 300 days of this kid slapping me, you know what I mean, and not doing
right.
nothing. So that's what's going on right now. You want 400 years. We're not talking about days. We're talking about 400 years of just being treated wrong and being asked to take it. So now it's just like, it was just too much, man. It's just too much to watch somebody get murdered on camera, and just, you know, human nature, like, not to be angry. But
yeah.
even still, even with that, they still was protesting peaceful. They put those
yeah.
cops in them crowds to bust windows and set fires, and of course, everybody just went along with it. But, you know, the truth came
yeah.
out. But I was going to tell you, just to fast forward now, you know, going back, fast forward. They said the autopsy came back, and now they're trying to say that he didn't die because the officer, you know, was on his knee, was on his neck. He died because he had heart problems. So now they're trying to cover that part up.
Wow.
So there's a pretty good chance that this cop won't even go to jail, you know, with the autopsy, because the autopsy saying that he didn't kill him. It was a heart attack. It was heart failure or something like that. He was a preconditioned disease that he had. So it's like, come on, man. That's throwing, you know, gasoline on the fire.
Yeah, really it is. And once things continue to, you know, form, you know, there'll be medical professionals, and there'll be, you know, I mean, the attorneys are ready for this battle, but you know, there's still no justification of that act. You know, you can say, you know, this happened and that happened. It's almost, you know, I'm surprised they didn't say that the man had COVID. You know, I was waiting for them to say he died of COVID. I'm not even joking, man. I thought that they were going to say this dude was a COVID-19 patient, and you know, he basically just you know, stressed out, and you know, regardless of what it is, he was in a very uncompromised. I mean, he was in a very compromised situation, physically and mentally. So I don't care if he had a bad heart. I don't care if he had high blood pressure. You still can't justify exactly what you did to impose force. It was you know, the force was not necessary. It was undue force. It was excessive. And of course, anybody in any condition could have expired through that. You know, so
exactly.
you still have to be accountable for your activity, and what it caused as the snowball effect. Because if he had a bad heart, if he had COVID-19, whatever, okay, then why wasn't this man, once he was subdued, put in the cop car?
He wasn't doing any of this. So why did it take? You had him handcuffed. They handcuffed him coming out the store. So he was already handcuffed. So he didn't pose any threat. Like, it wasn't like he could get a gun or anything like that. He was already handcuffed.
Hmm.
Then you got him on the ground. You got four officers on one man, from his neck to his back to his upper leg to the bottom of him. Like, come on, dog, where are you going? He's handcuffed. So no matter what preconditions, disease he had or whatever he had, it didn't call for all that. Like, the situation didn't call for all that. But again, this is how they protect their own. This is how they protect their own. And again, I got this guy maybe getting the worst case scenario. He gets 2 years, do 8 months, get out, or he gets set free and just get fired from the force. Because this guy, they say he already got like 18 charges, 18 complaints about shootings and different things of that nature. Anyway, but before we keep continue talking, we just want to tell our listeners, tonight we kind of changed the on the fly. We kind of changed the tone of what we was going to talk about tonight, being what's going on in Atlanta, Minnesota, DC, Baltimore, and different, you know, a lot of different other places. We've decided to, you know, speak on that. And if anybody, any of the callers want to chime in, to let us know, if you're in Atlanta, you know, if you're watching on the news, if you're in D.C. and you're watching on the news, if you want to chime in, just press 1, you know, and let us know your thoughts on this, and, you know, what you think about the whole situation that happened in Minnesota. And, you know, how can we, you know, move forward? How can we fix this broken thing moving forward? Because like I said, now moving forward, it affects us all. Like, I think it's more so, I mean, it's a color thing, but even worse than the color thing, it's a financial thing. Like, it's a rich poor thing. You get what I'm saying? Like, so
yeah,
we just got to find ways to go ahead.
Very good point. And I'm glad that you went that direction, because that's the direction I actually wanted to go. It has everything to do with economics. It has everything to do with economics, because you have to think about it. We always hear about the backstory afterwards. Now, so you're telling me that this guy, you know, I don't want to say this guy, Mr. George, he he was arrested and subdued for writing bad checks. This is a non-violent offense. It's a non-violent offense. So you would think that law enforcement's job would be to get him in custody, go ahead and book him, so that he can go to court and handle his business. Like, I don't know how much the voided checks were. I mean, I don't know how much the bad checks were. Let's just say it was
$2,000. It was $20.
Oh, my God.
$20. This man lost his life for $20. And see, and that story changed because they had the store owner on an interview, and he said that the lady that was working in there, he gave them a fake $20 bill. That was the story that he told. Then there's a story about the bad check. I know the number is $20. You know what I'm saying? So they say he. One side of the story said that he came in the store and received the $20, brought something, got the $20, went to the next store and tried to pay for something. They told him it was fake. He went back to that store and altercation kind of went down with, like, give me my money back. You gave me a fake 20. So it's like, it's so many different stories. But at the end of the day, $20, man, that's something that could have been, one of those cops could have talked to him outside. That's a conversation.
Right.
Like, that's not a even go to jail type of thing. It's $20, man. But again, big black guy, they come in and it's a whole ordeal. Now somebody lost their life for $20, for $20. That's where we at.
Now, see, again, you know, once all the facts come out, and they will, we're going to realize once again, it's a senseless murder, and that's what the uproar is about. It's senseless murder. It's senseless killings. Now, listen, let's not front, Tone. There is shootouts and there is high speed chases all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's not act like that doesn't happen. Now, I'm not saying that that's a specific race. I'm just saying that's what happens. That's what goes on in the hood. But it is becoming way too common where there's instances where people of color are literally losing their life for absolutely nothing. You know, and the inequality of how situations are handled is so despairing that somebody has to say something. Like, seriously, you can only sweep so much stuff. You can only cover up so much stuff. Okay, my bad. Yeah, we could have handled it a different way. The cop was having a bad day. He was an undercover cop. He didn't know this and that. You can only do that for so long. You ran out of those. You ran out of those excuses.
Exactly.
Like, those were done a long time ago. I'd say those were done back in the 80s and 90s. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Even probably before then. But I'm just saying at this point in 2020, with the technology, with the training, because here's my thing. We're in 2020. Are you saying that people, law enforcement, are less trained? The training has not been upgraded with technology now. There's so many different things that can be done. Listen, I thought that you remember there was a small window where they were still going tase crazy. You remember there was a little window where they were just tasing everybody. Like, okay, we're not going to shoot you, but we're going to tase your ass. It's almost like, okay, you bypassing that. Like, that wasn't enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do we get to the point where you feel like you need to shoot people again?
It's one of those things where they feel invincible. Like, they're not getting – it's no consequences. So it's like – okay, we killed him. We thought he had a gun, but he didn't. So what? You know, they don't get charged. And another killing. So what? You know, it's kids. It's women. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter. So when there's no repercussions and they're not getting charged for it, they get braver and braver. You get what I'm saying? So now
right. Yeah.
It's like, okay, We done did the peaceful thing. The only thing left to do is to get violent with them. I mean,
retaliate.
It sounds crazy, but that's pretty much it. Because my thing is this. Why are you an officer if you're scared of a certain race? Your job is to protect. Like, what are you going out to be an officer for? Why would I be an officer if I'm scared of white men? Like, that makes no sense. So if that's your thing, then you need not to be an officer, because you're just not an officer of rich people. You're just not an officer of middle class. You're an officer of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? You got to protect and serve everybody, every race, you know, men, women, and kids. So if you're terrified of a race, then you need not be an officer. And again, tonight, just for all the listeners that's on, tonight we changed it up due to what's going on. So this kind of like is a special edition, you know, Friday. We're not even going to call it Freaky Friday. It's Friday conversation, me and Gigi. If you have any, if you got any input, or you want to get on and speak about what happened in Minnesota or what's going on in your city, if you're in Atlanta, Baltimore, New York, Minneapolis, and there's one more place they're doing it. I think, did I say D.C.? In D.C.
I mean,
just hit one and we'll get you on just like any other time. This is our topic tonight. So this is what we're just going to chop it up and kind of build on this and give some insight and just see where we could go moving forward, man. It's just, like I said, it's just a crazy time as far as with these cops. I really like what the lady said in Atlanta, Erica, I can't think of her name. What's her last name? Oh, man, I can't think. I wrote it down. But she's the chief of police. And the one thing that she said is, like, I think these officers need to be retrained.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be a whole new training and vetted. Because you got a lot of racist officers in these forces. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these people, you know, now, you know, things that they wouldn't do without their badge, they feel like they can do with their badge.
Absolutely.
So they're getting braver. Like I said, they're getting braver and braver and braver. And it's just,
I want to turn the page a little bit and kind of ask you and ask our listeners. And I said this, I actually did my own broadcast on my personal Facebook page. And I had a guy that I respect, military, retired military, and I had a young lady who is a wife and a mother of three adult kids, 18 and up. And I asked them if they ever remember a time, and I'll ask you the same thing as well as the listener, Tone. Do you remember in the schools back in the day, they would always have an officer or a team of officers come in and educate the kids about what their purpose is? When I was growing up, I grew up in the South, even though I was born in the North. I grew up in the South, and we called it, our schools called it officer friendly. And it was basically have an officer come to the school and to bridge the gap between, you know, citizens out in the street and officers on the street. Because, you know, you never know. Once you're out in the street, you never know who a person is, what they're capable of doing. But it was a program that basically bridged citizens to law enforcement officers. And they would talk about, hey, we're here. They would talk about how important neighborhood watch is, you know, the things to do to be safe in your communities. They promoted, you know, community activities, community communication, and the proper way to make sure that, you know, that they need to make a 911 call to make sure they're in a safe place, to, you know, be as detailed as possible. And basically what their job was, which is to protect and serve the community. So it's almost like the complete opposite at this point. It's like, look, we're law enforcement, respect us, do what we say, whatever we say goes. And that's it. And then, and of course, by the,
by the time you get to the court system, to the judicial system, I do believe that there has been some progress to where the officers, they're not getting away with every single thing. Now, whether that is, you know, ploy, propaganda, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But it is showing that they are literally breaking the law that they're paid to enforce. That is a fact.
Yeah.
They have been shown, it's been proved time and time again that a lot of law enforcement officers are breaking the law that they're paid to enforce. And so, you know, that's where we're at. And, you know, another thing, just as people of color, for me, I've never been in a situation to where I felt some type of way. I felt so uncomfortable, you know, either in a group of police, you know, outside of Krispy Kreme or outside of Burger King or McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, because, you know, they eat on, man. But, you know, I've never felt any particular way walking by them or them looking at me funny or them saying some slick shit. I've never experienced that. And I've been fortunate not to experience that because I know what happens. However, as people of color, it's almost like now they have a chip on their shoulder and they don't even know you. You know what I mean? You have some officers that are like, okay, let me go out of my way to make sure that they feel comfortable and non-threatened and things like that. And then you have some, which I believe these are the ones that are, you know, doing these violent crimes. They already come to the table with these big ass egos, these chips on their shoulders, them wanting to make sure that everybody feels their presence when that's not even what they're there for. And that's why there's such a chain reaction. You know what I mean? Like they can set the tone. They can come in there and they go, hey, everybody shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? I'm here to handle business, blah, blah, blah. Or they can come in and be like, hey, I'm here to resolve the issue. I mean, we know you got a gun and we know you're going to shoot. That's not guesswork. So nobody is thinking that you're not going to do that. But the tone and the approach is just so important. I think that's what has to happen in the training. There has to be some type of customer service or diffusing the situation, and that has to be practiced, because if it is being practiced, it's not happening in the communities of people of color. You know what I mean? It's not happening there.
When I was younger, to answer your first question, here in Maryland, our program was called DARE.
Mm-hmm.
When the cops used to come, they used to park the DARE car, and you know, every maybe like once a month, a different officer would come in and just talk about, you know, not using drugs and just different things like that. So, that program was called DARE here. But, I mean, when I was younger, like in my teens or whatever, like, we used to get into it with the cops all the time. I mean, if we was in a car, if they seen four of us in a car, I mean, they'll pull over the car. Not because, you know, we didn't use our blinker, or not because, you know, smoke coming out of the car. Just because they seen... Yeah, just because they've seen four people, and a lot of times luckily for us, you know, when we got into it with them, it was just arguments. You know what I'm saying? Well, it didn't go any further. But
yeah,
like I used to always tell some of the officers, like, listen, man, like, we men. You get what I'm saying? Like, we all men. So when you come and talk, just talk regular. Like, we know you're an officer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody here is looking to disrespect you. Nobody here wants to get locked up and go to jail. But when you come in a crowd full of men and you start telling grown men to shut up and do you know who I am? And like, it's like, we don't care about that. Because we got something else that we're dealing with in our own community. You get what I'm saying? As far as crime and stuff like that. So you know what I mean? We ain't looking at you like that. Like, come on, dog. Like, you got to show respect. So I 100% agree with you on when these, you know, chiefs and people do this revamping the police station and, you know, taking them back through classes and stuff like that. That's the number one thing. When they approach the car, I mean, we, you know, as black men, we aggressive without being aggressive, just our tone of voice. You get what I mean? So
definitely,
you come
definitely.
To the car respectful, like, we going to be respectful. You know what I mean? I done had cops come to the car, white and black police cops, and it was a cool exchange. Like, you got your license and registration? Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Here you go. All right, man, how was your day? You know,
right.
I'm good. Boom, boom, boom. All right, everything
right.
check out, peace. And I done had cops come to the
right.
car, you know what I mean? Put the damn window down. Like, why would you? Come on,
yeah.
man. Like,
yeah.
you know, so.
Yeah.
And,
even when they know they're in the wrong.
Yeah.
Even when they know that you know that there's no grounds for them to pull you over.
Yeah. Facts. You know what I'm saying? And I think another thing, too, is that what they don't look at is mental illness. You know what I mean? Some of these
right.
cops come from broken homes, too. Some of these white cops and stuff. Like, here's the thing, man. Like, every, you know, white family is not rich, and every black family is not poor. You get what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
some of these white guys and white women come from hard backgrounds. You get what I'm saying? So they got a lot of mental different things that's going on in their head, too. And then when you add power to that, the same way you add power to a young black kid that's come from a broken home with no guidance, it could go bad. So,
right.
like you said, man, I 100% agree with you. I think that they have to definitely observe for that. Like, just a lot of different trainings that they got to do. They got to retrain these cops, white and black, because I done had some black cops just
Correct.
As worse as a white cop. I done had
oh,
some.
Sure.
I done been in situations sometimes where a white cop saved me from the black cop. You get what I'm saying? Like, bro, you going a little bit too far. Like, you know, it's not that serious, brother. Like, you know what I mean? But he just, who the fuck do you think you're talking to? And da 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 da. I'm like, man,
right.
like, you really trying to show your stripes right now. So that relationship, man, is so broken. That relationship is so broken, and it's not. It's everywhere. It's every state, every city. You know, even in other countries, the relationship between, you know, officer and, you know, civilian is so broken, man. Like, it definitely has to be a whole panel. Like, it got to be a whole conversation. And I'm not talking about just one. It has to be like a seminar or something with a week of seminars that we can go and, you know, dialogue back and forth and different things like that. Because it's broken, man.
Yeah.
That whole relationship is broken. Like, now, even if it is a good cop, right? We're not looking at
mm-hmm.
that. When you pull up, we automatically now thinking like, yo, it's a possibility one of us could die.
Yeah.
You know, when
anytime.
I get pulled over now, like when I get pulled over now, I try not to think about it, but it's a chance that I can get killed right now at this traffic stop, like, whatever. It's there. So if it don't get fixed, it's gonna turn into, I'm about to shoot him before he shoot me. Even
right.
if the cop wasn't coming to that. You get what I'm saying? So it has to get fixed ASAP,
yeah.
or that's what it's gonna turn into. It's gonna be a lot of people, a lot of families, you know, kids, father's not coming home, cops not coming home. Because people are going to be like, I'm going to kill him before he kill me. It's going to get to that.
Yeah.
And that's a sad
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, and those are all legit points. And in the black community, you know, we've ramped things up when we talk about protecting ourselves, protecting our families, you know, acquiring, you know, guns, you know, different types of guns to protect ourselves. And that's what it is. I mean, I don't know statistically what the gun sales, how much they've increased, but I'm sure that they have increased. I mean, I'm even more interested now in having some. You know, my biggest challenge, of course, is I had younger kids, and you know, the younger kids were they were never exposed to just so much stuff, you know, BS and garbage going on out in the communities. But it's a time now to where, you know, you have to open up all of these avenues now to where typically you wouldn't, you know, it was almost mm-hmm. optional to not, you know, to have a gun or not. And not because of protecting yourself, but just worst case scenario. And I'm talking about, you know, a burglary or a robbery or something like that. Now we're actually talking mm-hmm. about protecting ourselves from law enforcement, from the police. Now, if that doesn't tell you where we are as a society, then I don't know, you know, what else to say. And you know, as we mentioned before, and I just want to make this point here, and I really want to focus, of course, on some solutions and on some maybe some tips or things that we can, you know, promote. But I do want to say this. I remember that the worst thing as a black man to fear driving up and down the expressway or driving through, you know, the city or anything like that was if you have a nice ass car, they may pull you over because they thought you were a drug dealer. Do you remember that window to where if you had a Benz, you had a Lexus, you had a Hummer and things like that, then they think that you have, they think you have drugs, right? So the thing is now mm-hmm. they just want to, you know, get the drugs or get the money or check your car. Now it's at a point to where it doesn't even get to that point because they already are assuming that that they don't like me. We don't like them. So I'm going to shoot first and ask questions last because I'm law enforcement. I mean, and that is a shame because, again, I've been pulled over. I know for a fact at least two times in my entire life, maybe three now I think about it, that I got pulled over because of the vehicle I was in. One, I was in a Jaguar. One, I was in a Lexus. And one, I was in a Dodge Charger.
Yeah, man.
I know for a fact when I was in the Dodge Charger, because of course when you're in fast cars, you're cognizant of not going super fast, right? Unless mm-hmm. you're in an open road or you're in a country road or anything like that. So if you're in traffic, if there is some type of heavy traffic or, you know, the decent traffic, you're not going to zigzag through because it's a very high percent chance that there's going to be a cop somewhere, you know, in the ditch, on the bridge, under the bridge, you know, unmarked car, who knows. So I remember literally driving in the slowest lane, going the speed limit and passing by a few, I guess they call them checkpoints when, you know, they're literally half a mile from each other, maybe three, you know, Georgia Patrol State Patrol and all that. I remember passing by one, right? And I was like, okay, you know I wasn't speeding. I know I'm not tripping. And I passed by another one and I was like, okay, you know, I'm good. And then by the time I got to the third one, I saw the lights. I was going the same speed limit. There were people passing me on my left, and I was going the same speed limit, but I was in a very fast muscle car with tinted windows, not super dark, not illegal, but tinted windows. So it was funny. It wasn't funny, but it was interesting when I got pulled over. And, of course, at this point, I'm just like, okay, this is garbage. So whatever they're about to do, I know that I'm going to beat it in court or, you know, whatever. So when the cop approaches the vehicle, he asked me for license registration. And I was like, well, can you tell me why you stopped me? So he was like, yeah, I'll tell you in a second. And then he goes in and he proceeds to ask me, have you been drinking, you know, alcohol or smoking, you know, any type of illegal drugs? And I said, actually, I don't smoke or drink. So, and I know I wasn't going B limit because I was in the slowest lane. And so, of course, he didn't have nothing to say. He goes and checks me out, and everything was clean. And it is the most aggravating once you don't even get a ticket after they pull you over. That's how you know that you have been illegally stopped. There wasn't a moving traffic violation. And that's what's frustrating, and that's how people get into a situation. Now, mind you, I could have been a white guy and cursed him out, asked him, hey, you know, this is my constitutional rights that you are violating. Why would you stop me? Get your supervisor on the phone. I'm not leaving until what's your badge number. Do all that. And they'll probably kiss his ass and make sure that he doesn't have any more issues. But if a person of color does the same thing, now they're looking for other reasons to either detain you, to shoot you, or to give you some type of violation. Because now it's almost like it's a violation to disrespect an officer. That's not a law. To disrespect an officer, you can say whatever you feel like you want to say. I'm gonna say exactly what I want to say.
Exactly, amen.
As long as it's not a threat.
We got a caller. I want to get this caller on before we get off the horn tonight. 2748 GI Radio. You on? Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. How you doing?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to come on and just thank you guys for, you know, opening up your platform to really highlight this issue. And, you know, it's so complicated, and it's hard to find a resolve to the situation when there's not a mutual understanding. And it's like, you know, I look on my social media, and just today, one of my friends posted how she was a white lady, and she said that I can't get over what has happened to this man. And it's just like, I'm thinking, this man, what about this person, and what about this person? And it's like all the people that come to mind that have been in the spotlight, but there's hundreds or thousands or however many more that their names are just unknown.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that these protests are, I understand the frustration, but I feel like we need to, for one, put more people in office or in these positions that look like us. You know, we have to use our voice and our vote. And I think that, you know, we stand for the situation, but we don't get out there and say, look, this has got to change. I'm going to run for this. I'm going to do that. And it's like, I just think our change is going to be in the way that we stand up and say, look, we can't go for this anymore. And we need people that are in office that are going to say that as well. Everything just keeps getting swept under the rug because there's people that just don't care for lives of color. And, you know, I just think that this is just a terrible situation.
Thanks. Definitely, we got to hold. I think it's time to get away from Democrat and Republican. I think it's time for a whole new party. I think it's time for a whole new change. I think we have to get younger, because even though we are putting these guys in office, they still come from that system. So it's the same system, no matter if it's a Democrat or a Republican. I think it's time for a younger system. Somebody that understands the youth, you know what I mean, and that can change the, you know, look into the future and not, you know, because a lot of these guys say what they're going to do. Oh, yeah, I'm going to change this, I'm going to change that, I'm going to change that. But a lot of us that come from these communities, you know, we might have got out of these communities, but when we go back, the communities are the same as they were when we was kids. Like, nothing has changed, no matter who was in office. So it's just time for a whole makeover America. There's a whole makeover of America, because that one system that we've been dealing with for so long is it hasn't helped, man. It really has. It's just divided. That's it.
Yeah, and we have to think outside of just the president. I mean, we have we're voting for superintendents, chief of police, these mm-hmm. judges. I mean, we need to start focusing on. Yeah, I'm not saying the presidential election is not important, but we need to be more mindful of who we're putting in our communities, because that's who's fighting for us. And I think that, yeah, a lot of people do focus on that November election, but what about these months here where we're mayors and all of that kind of stuff? I don't think that as people of color, I don't think that we put enough attention on those areas.
Absolutely right.
Excellent point. Yeah. Some very good points for both of you guys. And then I'll just say in closing, I also believe that as a society, as a community, as families, if we break it down to the lowest or the simplest common denominator, is we have to educate ourselves a little bit better. I know for myself growing up, I wasn't taught local legislation. I wasn't taught that there's a representative for my city, or there's a representative for the state, even in the county. I wasn't taught that. All I was taught was, I know that there's a president, there's a vice president, there's a House of Representatives, there's Congress. So even at the lowest level, obviously there's a governor, there's a mayor, and things like that. I believe that just kind of breaking things down to individuals so that they understand where it starts. So if we're starting with our community, then obviously we need to have more community leaders, more active community leaders that can educate the kids. And, even the fact of how funding is spent in the local communities, we don't know. We just see these big buildings popping up, and they're usually, you know, large conglomerates to where, you know, yeah, it may employ a few people of the community, but there were town meetings before permits were issued out, and things were, there were meetings about is this a go or is this a no? So things don't just pop up automatically on their own. There are procedures, and most of these procedures are public or are, you know, to the public, to where they get a say so. You know, my family and those around me, I didn't know about town meetings. Were there town meetings? Hell yeah, because there's certain things that can't happen unless there's a town meeting. And so I think we have to get back to making things very simple, even building that leadership in our communities and just educating folks. You know, these millennials are sharp, right? But at the same time, they also are not adopting to the old principles, which you alluded to, Tom. They're not going for that, because these people that are in offices, and there are certain offices where people are in there for a long time, you know, and they don't know. There's places that, you know, you got 2-year runs, you got 4-year runs, you got 8-year runs, you got 10-year runs, and some of them can be concurrent until somebody comes and takes their spot. If there's no other competition, then that person is going to continue to be they're going to continue to be the mayor. They're going to continue to be, you know, in different places. So, you know, we have a lot of work to do, but at the same time, we still have to redirect our energy. We have to redirect our energy, because yes, it's frustrating. It's you know, makes us angry and things like that. But there is a section over here that would put us in a better position to be a bigger voice. Just like the call, and the call has a familiar voice. I think she's one of our ladies, man. I don't know if she's Lady X or if she's Madam B, but she's one of them. Tone, she's one of them, I guarantee. Let me just say this though. There is a area here to where we can redirect a lot of our energy, our resources, to where we can start building you know, communities, even strategically building businesses and putting people in position to where now we have a local authority that will police the police or police, you know, other government officials. You know what I mean? And that's what we have to do. So I just pray that we all continue to stay focused, because, you know, just burning stuff down sends a message, but it's not the end problem. It's not the end resolution. It's just, we're just back and forth. We're just back and forth. And the president himself, he's setting the tone. He set the tone. He said, you continue to loot. you know what he said. So if that's the mindset of the commander-in-chief, then what the hell does that tell us at the lowest level of community-wise? So we have to do things differently at this point.
Right, because, I was just saying that because the damage that people are doing, it's like, yeah, these businesses, they have insurance. I'm sure that it's not going to be a monetary loss to them. But that insurance claim and all of the expenses that they're having to do to repair the city, it's going to trickle back down to the middle-class working people. They're going to get hit the hardest. Taxes are going to go up to pay for this stuff. So it's just like the stuff that they're doing is doing more damage to our community than it is. And it's just, I don't know.
Yeah. It's one of those things that we have to research and get more information in so we can go about things, a different way. I'm not upset about it. I feel like my thing is it has to be a plan behind it. Like you said, you just can't just burn stuff and then, go home and be like, all right, I burnt up something. Like, okay, now we got their attention. What's the next step? Like, what's the next step now? You know, because if we just do this and then sit back, we're going to get another Eric Garner. We're going to get another, George Floyd, So it has to be some type of solution behind what we're doing. So, it just don't be that little moment, like not just that one little moment. It has to be a continuous type thing. So, like I said, I hope that things get better. Like I said, right now, 2020 has been not good. 2020 has been crazy. So I'm pretty sure it's going to get better, man. It's just, that's the earth cleansing itself. But before we get off the phone, I want to say thank you for calling in, caller. Thank you for pressing one. I'm joining us every Friday. I recognize the voice. I just don't know if it's Lady V, Madam X, or Mrs. B. It's one of them.
We gave you one.
I just can't remember.
Yeah, she's gonna be Lady X, man. You're Lady X from here on out, okay? So just that your bag you're in.
I'm Lady X. Okay.
That's it.
I'm more of like a candy type, but okay, I'll take Lady X.
Oh, so you want to give yourself a name. You hear that?
That's what it is. Candy. We got to think of a candy name together.
Okay.
But we definitely appreciate you calling in every Friday and checking in with us and, chopping it up and definitely giving your opinion on this particular topic. Next week we will get back into our regular scheduled program, but tonight, me and Gigi, we just felt like it was something that we had to do, just to change up a little bit about what's going on. Because like as right now, I watch TV. I'm not sure where everybody is. We watching the this is Atlanta, and they are setting everything on fire. So if you in Atlanta, Gigi, I know you in Atlanta. Candy, I guess we could call her Candy. Candy, if you're in Atlanta, be safe. you know, if you got kids, talk to your kids, because I'm pretty sure the kids are watching TV as well, wondering what's going on. That's all we could do for right now. Gigi, you want to let everybody know where they can find you at before we get off?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, everyone, for, you know, sticking with us today, even though we did something a little bit different out of the box, but very necessary. So you can find me on my Facebook platform, which is Malloy Rob, MalloyRob. You can also find me on an IG platform, which is Rob GG Malloy, as well as GG After Dark. And as always, you can check out, see what I have going on www.ggafterdark.com. All right, so I appreciate it. Toe, man, excellent job today, man. How can we get a hold of you and everything you have going on?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, GEI underscore Tone, TONE, Facebook Tone Mitchell. If you want to follow the show, is GEI Radio on all platforms, social media platforms. Again, you can follow us on Blog Talk 2. You can follow our show on Blog Talk 2. Is GEI Radio. We here every Friday, 9 p.m. And we're gonna keep it going, man. Like I said, this one was necessary. I just felt like with everything going on, it was only right to talk about this. But next week, we will be back in full effect. So I know some of the ladies that was on, I seen some of the callers that were on. They listened for a little bit, but I guess the topic that we was on, they kind of got off. So, which is cool, understandable, you know. We back next week to chop it up with y'all. Everybody be safe out there. Gigi, be safe down there, man. I was looking to come for my birthday next week, but I don't think this going to be a one-day thing. I think it's pretty much on now, man. I think it's pretty much on down there in all these other states. So be safe, man. You know, the family be safe. I'm glad that your mom's doing better. I seen the post.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. That's it, man. Catch you next Friday, man.
All right. Be safe, man.
All right.
Take care, guys.
All right. Peace.